Now then, can we carry on a little bit to the next course of events? Your duties, promotions, etc. Did you have to have any further training at all?
The training was by colleagues, if I didn't know anything, because there was a wealth of information in the drawing office, because there were people which were expert with electricity, expert with hydraulic valves and controls, and there were people who were very good with mathematics. So if you knew where to go, which book to look at, you could survive. But some of the mistakes you made, and there were a number, and if it hadn't been for a guardian angel over my shoulder, I'd been sunk.
I think we can all say that, Eric.
Yeah. Anyway, because I was, I suppose, a very conscientious type of person, I called into the director's office to be given some sort of reward. And I found myself saying to him that I've never had any proper training to do this job, yet I seem to be doing it satisfactory, but how much better could I have been? And to my surprise, about 3 months later, a guy named Wedleg came on the scene, and he was there to set up some sort of training program and started the training school. So they got somebody to do the turn-in. That escalated, and we were part of the Heenan Fruit Group, and they set up a an excellent school at Heenan's in Worcester, which I'd never ever saw, but that was all part of it. I must have sown a seed for that. I take credit for that.
And what were the, as you sort of progressed, what were the sort of, did you have a kind of an interest in product you like working on, Eric, or was there anything extrusion or stretching or whatever?
No, I would say this, that I was given a brief from the sales that somebody wanted somebody to do something, and my imagination flew straight into a machine without much thought, and I knew exactly what I was going to put on paper, and I always did. I've got a picture of a 800-ton stretcher in there, which came to me as an inquiry, open inquiry.
Yes.
It's a plate stretcher. I put it straight down on paper, and to my amazement, with the aid of David Rolls, and we went to Auckland Plate and solved it. That was an 800-tonner.
So you, your design of a stretcher then came actually before you had an inquiry for one, did it?
No, not that one, no. No, it came straight in my head. A lot of things did.
Did you have, at that stage, Eric, did you have people working for you? You were a single, so as a project engineer, then you were working alone.
For me when we put through the 4,000-ton stretcher Alcan plate and the Sejdor 6,000-tonner in France.
All right.
Two work for me then.
Yeah. Okay.
I was hived off eventually because Ron Green had the idea that he could get better designs from somebody who worked away from the place in separate offices. So I found myself in Sebastian Street.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
That was awful.
So you were isolated, which
isolated.
Wasn't...
But I came across, I must confess, I came across three almost inventions on my part.
Did you travel much, Eric, away from Gloucester?
Yes, I... at Fieldings... For Fieldings, I went to Paris and Israel. I went to Paris, Chicago, Israel, which was in France as well, and a couple of other places I can't remember now. It's all mixed up with the next job.
Eric, you mentioned Chicago. Was there anything particular about Chicago?
Oh, indeed there was, because Fielding and Platt was more than capable of looking after the interests of Chicago in this country, we were making mechanical presses for stamping out car bodies. After Fielding were looking for somebody to head up the operation on the technical side, and so we were asked to write an essay of what we thought the job was it would entail. I won, fortunately, and so the first thing I had to do was to go into Chicago and find out a little bit about what it's all about and what they expected, which, as far as I was concerned, it was very successful. We eventually gave the business up because we were unable, not quite capable of boring the heads on the 5RM machine, which was a new acquisition, and Spooner seemed to be against clearing. I was eventually headhunted by clearing and landed myself a wonderful job, complete with all expenses paid, car, and travelling a lot of the countries. And I was very well accepted in Chicago as part of their team.
So did you work, can I get this right? Did you actually work for yourself at this time, or were you still employed by Fielding and Platt?
I was employed by Fielding and Platt, and after I was headhunted, I was employed by Clearing themselves, a Clearing America in Chicago.
So, and how long did that go on for, Eric? And you eventually came back to Fielding and Platt, I take it?
No, never came back to Fielding's. I worked for Clearing and became their chief engineer and stayed with them until Hitachi Zosen, a Japanese company, acquired them for next to nothing, because they were a part of United States Industries, USI Industries. And that was a downfall of Clearing, because the people who worked in Chicago remembered the fracas at the beginning of the war when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. They never forgot it, and they would never would. And so nobody would work for the Japanese in America. We got closed down. I was then given the job of being a consultant to the people who were taking over the business that we had at Clearing Europe, and that was Verson Wilkins.
Okay, so
For them, I built one of the largest presses without any support from anybody, my own ideas, the largest press that I'd ever built. Biggest, most complicated.
So would you, one of the questions I was going to ask there was, harping back to Fielding and harping back to Fielding and Platt, this is, what would you say that one of your greatest achievements there was, or would you think that would be when you worked for Clearing?
I think greatest achievement must be when I worked for Clearing, because I was on my own. I just had one helper, which was a ex-Fielding bloke. His name was Bill Nash. He worked there for some time, but it was a completely one-man decision. Everything was a one-man decision of mine.
Okay, so that obviously that was needed a lot of experience, a lot of patience, etc.
I left when I was 70. I left Clearing when I was 70. Well, Clearing sacked me, and I went because they closed down when I was 69, and I was then given a one-year contract by Verson Wilkins.
So you must have been at Fielding's then about 50, Eric, were you?
I left, yeah. I was 57 when I left Fielding's.
So that would have made, you would have been a bit less than 50 years then, Eric, wouldn't it, if you were about 15 when you started?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's say about 40 years then. Yeah, quite a long time in anybody's book.
Yeah.
During those years, Eric, and I don't think I've asked you this question, at least not since your apprenticeship days, did any more social events, sporting events that you can recall? Anything in particular?
We used to rather enjoy for some reason, the drawing office split into two. One was, which I was in, Esmond Sargent, Eric Johnson, and a couple of others. And the other one was, shall we say, Bob Madeley and Kenny Daniels. It was almost two different groups of people.
Yeah.
And they all had their own thing to do. And we used to go out every month for a booze up. Nearly got killed once.
Okay, now I don't know where you might remember this, Eric, but I got a photograph in front of me of about seven or eight gentlemen standing in deep snow somewhere. Can you remember where that was?
No, I don't recall much of this. It's been put to me a couple of times, so I went there in my suit. Of course, I didn't have any clothes to suit all for that.
And that was in the snow?
Yeah, that was in the snow.
But you survived. One last question, Eric, before we finish. Do you ever meet up with any of your contemporaries from Fielding and Platt?
Very few. They're sometimes in town, but no. Well, yes, I met our Brian here. He was in hospital when I was having my eyes done. And since then, I've been in the hospital. And I haven't got over it yet. It was a year ago, that was.
Now, is this a Brian who was the company photographer at the time?
Oh, my goodness. I learned all my photography from him. As I say, Fielding and Platt had every skill you ever wanted. Every skill. So if you wanted to knit a sheet, somebody would be there to be able to show you how to do it. And, of course, I hurt Bob Madeley because last time I saw him, he's doing quite well for himself at his age. And I said the same thing. I said, look at all the skills we had there. I said, if you wanted a wall built, you should go and see Bob Madeley because he knew how to do it. And he said, and Bob said, what do you mean a bloody wall? He said.
Did you understand there was a Fielding and Platt reunion, sort of called a Christmas party, just prior to the Christmas this year. Did you attend that?
No, can't remember that. I attended the ones I've been invited to, but the very early ones, I knew they were going on, but nobody ever invited me, so I never went.
Okay, Eric. Well, thank you very much.
Last two.
That was one. There was one at the Gloucester Keys, I understand. Did you go down to that one? And you met up with a few of your old colleagues.
Yeah, very good. Very nice, that was. I enjoyed that.
Excellent. Okay, Eric. Well, thank you very, very much for your time and your hospitality. It's been a pleasure interviewing you. Thank you very much.